Blog Talk Radio.
With his special report on the NFL, and we got a
very good friend and another member of our extended family, John Crane's on with us. So I want to welcome both of you guys. And Brady, how about if we start with your report so you can get? I know you did a lot of work on that.
Yeah. Chargers are moving to L.A. Also, I think the Rams, and speaking of L.A., the Rams are getting the youngest coach ever, head coach ever, Sean McVay. He's going to turn 31 on January 24th. Bucks. The Bucks defense is actually they got better over this season, this past season.
Great.
They were ranked third in takeaways. They had 29.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, 29 takeaways. 17 interceptions and 12 fumble recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're the 23rd in all in defense. In total.
Big increase from last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. There's not a lot.
Oh, okay. Good deal. Hey, John, there was a fight last night. Ursulandi Landa. I can't even get the words out. Laura had a fight with a very formidable Yuri Foreman. And that didn't turn out too good for Mr. Foreman.
No, Lara went ahead and predicted that he would get the knockout within six rounds. And I was having a conversation with another boxing enthusiast over this who questions Lara's power. And right when he questioned it, came the uppercut and the knockout to Mr. Foreman. So it was an impressive showing for Lara, and Lara's looking to go on and do things. He's not afraid of anybody. He continues to call out boxers, so this was a big win for him.
Sure it is. Yeah. We have a call into his management to be on with us in 2 weeks. So I'll put that
Beautiful.
On the board as soon as we make that connection. And if he's coming on, we definitely will be out there and talking about it and have it. We'll advertise it for 2 weeks before we get it on. I did want to mention one thing. This is our 497th show, and we are now tracking at 257,350 listeners or people that either listen to the show while it's on or go back into the archives and listen to it on a weekly basis. And we really want to thank all our listeners out there. You do a great job for us again this week. We're picked as one of the top shows on Block Talk Radio and advertised by Block Talk Radio. So we really want to thank everybody for helping us get to this form this place. Hey, John, what do you think? Carl Frampton is going after Leo Santa Cruz tonight. For the WBA featherweight title. What do you think of that fight?
Well, if you recall it correctly, I went ahead and I picked Frampton to go on and win the first fight there. And I believe that he's going to go on a repeat. I think that he matched up very well. I think Santa Cruz is a great fighter. But I'm going to stick with Frampton. I think that what he did was very impressive. His first go around, and I think he can go and repeat it the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he certainly has been. He hasn't been sitting back like he used to. He used to sit back and wait. Now all of a sudden he's taking more action in the ring and taking the fight to the center of the ring instead of running around chasing people. I think I'm with you. I think he's going to do very well tonight.
Right. That fight's actually January 28th, which we got a couple weeks for it.
Yeah.
But it is the next big fight on deck. So we have DeGale and Jack tonight.
Right. What do you think of that one?
Well, I think DeGale, I think the favorite's going to win the fight. I think again, with his punch of power. I think it worked the jab, and I just think he has more experience. So in bigger fights, he's only got the one loss, and it was to a tough, I believe it was to George Groves. So, and he has an impressive resume. So I'm going to go and predict him to win. I think it will go the distance.
Okay. You know, speaking of impressive resumes, it brings to mind, I know you've always been a Mayweather proponent, and now I'm reading that he's offering $50 million to get into the ring now.
Well, he was offered. I did. He was offered a $25 million split by the MMA to go on and to fight Conor McGregor. I do think it would be a big draw. I don't think that it would be any match for Mayweather in the boxing ring. Obviously, boxing is much different than MMA. So, and same thing, I think Mayweather would get beat if it would turn into an MMA match. But Mayweather's offer was quite different, where he went ahead and offered $15 million to Conor McGregor, and then I believe that Mayweather would promote the fight and walk away with what he asked for was a minimum $100 million, and he said that he would split. They find a way to give him $15 million, and they would split the or find a way to split the pay per view buys. So again, this is Mayweather at his best. This is what he does. He's a promoter. He knows how to make money. Obviously, you know, I do not think he's going to take anything for $25 million. Especially when his claims, and he showed at least one check for $100 million, but he claims he made $200 million with the Pacquiao fight. So right. Mayweather's not going to come back for $25 million. There's no chance. Conor McGregor threw a tweet out there to continue to egg it on. So, again, they're both amping each other up. They're both trying to draw the interest from the public, and Mayweather can do that. So the question is whether – they can agree on an amount, and if Conor McGregor can really go on, and he got a boxing license. He went and applied for his boxing license, was approved, but it's going to be whether if he's going to go on and take the amount of money that Mayweather offers, because Mayweather's the moneymaker in the boxing world, and Conor McGregor, he's walked away with $3 million from a fight, but never close to the amount that a boxer has made.
Right. Brady, what do you think?
What?
What do you think about that fight? You think Mayweather should go against Conor McGregor, the MMA fighter?
I don't think that should mix. Like, MMA and boxing, that's not supposed to mix.
Yeah, they're not, but they're trying to put this thing together to get a big crowd.
Mayweather isn't really – I mean, Mayweather, he doesn't really know how to use his feet, but McGregor, are they going to be able to kick? Are they going to be able to kick?
No, it would just be boxing. There's no way that Mayweather. Yeah, it's just going to be boxing. That's all. So, and that's why I give it to Floyd. You know, if it was MMA, I obviously give it to Conor McGregor.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of guessing that Conor McGregor, he might forget and maybe throw a kick in there. Is he going to be wearing gloves? Are they going to be wearing gloves or no?
Yeah, it'd be boxing. But Floyd Mayweather won't agree to anything else. It's what he knows, and he's gonna have the leverage.
Yeah, and I don't think McGregor's ever had fought with like gloves.
No, he's strictly MMA. So, but. Again, it's another interesting component with Floyd Mayweather, what he does for the boxing world. He's still trying. He loves the sport, and even though that you have these big fights out there, you have Frampton Santa Cruz coming out. You got the fight. You have the fight tonight. Pacquiao and Horn just signed a deal. So even though you have these fighters that are coming out, and you have these fights on deck. The boxing world is still talking about a guy that has retired for about a year now, you know, and I will, you know, I know we have a lot of Floyd haters out there, but and to say they did this or did that, but I still consider Floyd probably one of the best fighters. I'm not going to say he's the greatest of all time, you know. You have your fighters like Sugar Ray Robinson and all that good stuff there, but Floyd Mayweather is one of the best fighters of my time, and if I've said it, I wrote it with my friend back in the day when we used to write for the articles with Bob Carroll. I said that Floyd would beat all four of the four Kings. I think he could beat Sugar Ray Leonard. I think he could beat Hagler. I think that he has the defense, the ring savviness, and the stamina to hold up to all of those guys, even though they were the best in the 80s. So, again, what he's doing for boxing is he's continuing to garner and talk about the sport, and he's holding hopes for fans such as myself that he would come back. You know, I don't want to see him fight Pacquiao. I think he would destroy Pacquiao again. And I don't think there's many boxers out there that can hold a candle to him. Maybe, you know, maybe if Danny Garcia or the winner of Danny Garcia and Thurman, you know, if they can go on and draw that payday, I think they would be quality opponents. I think Thurman has a better chance to beat Mayweather than Danny Garcia ever would. But there's very few out there that can go on and hold a candle to Floyd. And we're going to talk to one of them tonight, and there's a few others out there, but there's not too many. And this is why we're talking about Conor McGregor, who's not even a boxer and who would get whitewashed in a box ring, in a squared circle.
Sure. Yeah, it's getting close to time. I'm gonna go ahead and give him a call here on the air rather than go off the air.
Okay.
And we'll get Keith right on. He's one of the greatest guys. He's really a neat guy.
Hello?
Hey, Keith. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Frank.
Good. Keith, we're on the air with John Crane, Brady Quinn, myself, and we want to welcome you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always a pleasure to see you, Jim. We want to publicly thank Dan Birmingham for helping us arrange tonight. John, you want to start?
How you doing, Keith? How's everything going?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. First, as a boxing fan and enthusiast, I want to say thank you for the entertainment that you put on for the fans. I think that you're one of the few fighters out there that is not afraid of anybody. You've constantly called people out, and you're taking on some real opponents. And while people around you continue to dodge you or dodge other opponents, you're giving the fans what they want. So I want to start off just by saying thank you very much for that.
It's all good, man. These are, this is my career. These are my dreams, and I'm just happy to finally be getting the fights that I want. You know, I worked really hard to put myself into this position, and it's a pleasure, man. This is what I worked my whole life for, so I'm enjoying the show as much as you are.
Beautiful. I think it's paying off. I mean, with the latest fights with Collazo and then Sean Porter and now Danny Garcia, and once you get beyond this, I just want to see who's gonna have the balls to go on and sign that contract with you next. So I'm predicting you to win the fight, and I think this is gonna be great for boxing. And again, so thank you very much.
My pleasure, man.
So,
do you have any tactics they're gonna use to beat Garcia? No.
Yeah, it's every tool in the toolbox. You know what I mean? You know, a handyman doesn't bring one tool to work, you know? So, you know, my tactics, I've shown it throughout the years lately, you know. The first time I ever showed that I have the ability to change up my game plan was when I fought Diego Chavez. And the funny thing is, and bringing him up as a reference right now, is I feel like Garcia is similar to a Chavez as far as the overall challenge. When I fought Chavez, Chavez was undefeated. Chavez had 18 knockouts out of 20 victories. So I look at them as kind of similar. I know they're individual fighters. But, you know, I started off wanting to stop Chavez early. It was more challenging than I expected. He definitely was a game fighter. He was prepared. I started boxing. I made sure that I was winning on the scorecards, and then I saw he was fatiguing, and I went for the knockout in the later rounds. So there's lots of different strategies to go against Garcia. You know, we're going to feel him out. We're going to test his chin. We're going to test his body, and we're going to put on a show, man. I'm ready for this fight.
Are you going to fight him like Porter? Are you going to do the same thing as you did?
Nah, no. No, Porter was a very, you know, special fight. You know, never have you guys ever even seen me on the ropes like that, you know. I know Porter smothers his work. I know what the judges are looking for. I know he was going to be in better shape than me. He wasn't in a car accident. He wasn't coming out of recovery. So I let him put that work in, you know. And I remember sitting down after the eighth round, and I told myself, I said, you know the fight's tied, right? And I said, so it's all about the final four rounds, and it's about being the smarter, better boxer, and, you know, pulling out with the W. The only thing that could have changed the momentum of the fight at that time was for either fighter to score a knockdown late. You know, it'd be hard to recover because we were running out of time in the last four rounds, you know. So, you know, I just boxed smart. I didn't want to be on the ropes as much, and I believe I didn't. I changed up my game plan several times in that fight just to do what I needed to do to win the rounds.
Keith, you're one of the few guys that has a record of 6-0 against former or current titleist, being like Carlos Quintero, Zuvik, Julio Diaz, Robert Guerrero, Collazo, and Porter. And, you know, if you were to look back at those fights, I know you said that one of the best fights you had was Chavez, but of those fighters, which was the toughest one that you faced, or the shrewdest
one? Oh, well, Porter was the toughest, you know. The scorecards show you that, you know what I mean? It was the closest margin of a victory that I've ever achieved in all of my 12-round fights, you know. So, It was a close fight. It was a tough fight. Porter came in tremendous shape. He constantly was using head movement, in and out stutter steps, you know. But there were times where I knew I had to force the action, and I hit him with some big shots. It made it easy for him to go on his back foot a little bit. I took advantage of that, and, you know, I kept scooping rounds into my favor, and I was able to get the win. I'm pretty sure that he wasn't prepared for my will to win as champion, you know. It's hard to predict. You know somebody's skill, but you don't know their will until you test their will. Sean Porter tested my will, and the champ in me overcame it and showed him that it's not that easy to walk out with my belt.
Great. You know, you just said something that caught my attention about his moving his head. I've never seen you cut until the Porter fight. Was that a headbutt that you had that little cut over your eye?
I felt like it was, because they showed a headbutt the same time they showed the punch, you know, and they said that they claimed that the cut was already open, but, it, you know, I couldn't see the cut open in film, and it's hard to tell because there was a punch, but the punch that they showed, it kind of hit my glove. My guard was up, you know, so it made me feel like, did my own glove skim my eye and make me bleed or what? But you know, once when you're cut, you're cut. It is what it is. The fight was going back and forth. It was so close. I'm glad it didn't stop the fight, especially after not ruling it from a headbutt, because then it doesn't go to the scorecards. But you know, I was there, willing to keep fighting on. I got it out of my head. The round that it happened was the worst round because it was bleeding in my eye. So after that round, and we got to sit down with the cut man, Carlos, you know, he really stopped the bleeding, and I was able to focus and get right back into the action and just put it out of my mind. You know, if it gets worse, it gets worse, but it's my job to protect myself at all times in there. So I just sharpened up and finished off the fight.
Yeah, with your 27-0, that's a pretty formidable record. I want to make sure that our listeners know that you hold the NBA light middleweight title since November of 12, WBO intercontinental welterweight in 13, interim WBA welterweight title in 13, and the WBA welterweight title in 15 to the present. With this and indicted in 2000, you were also nominated as and presented as the Ring Magazine Prospect of the Year. That's a pretty formidable thing. I mean, people must be just coming out. I would think would be coming looking for you to try and take some of those titles. But I think if they're coming out, they better come loaded, because I know personally from seeing you up at the gym and from talking to you over these last year and a half or so, that you're ready. You're in better shape than I've ever seen you, and you're certainly a very astute fighter and a student of the fights. At this point in time, have you, other than studied films, have you gone to see Garcia fight? I know that Dan has always said that you guys have come up together.
Well, I commentated his last two fights, so that was fun.
Nice.
So I kind of had the best seat in the house, you know. And I was there for the Peterson fight as well. I wasn't there in Puerto Rico for the Herrera fight. I watched that at home. And I believe he won both of those fights, in my personal opinion, because you got to know what it takes to be the champion, and you got to just understand how both of those opponents put on great performances against Garcia, but they fell short when it came to the overall victory in a 12-round fight. You know, Danny, his fight style is really, it's just geared for the pros, man. You know, he's not much of a jabber, but he lets those right hands and those left hooks go. You know, in two-punch, three-punch combos, you know, he lets those hooks fly. He doesn't mind trading. He doesn't mind taking punches. He's a solid fighter.
Thank you. Any questions?
No, I just jumped in to follow, well, to catch up. So I don't have any questions yet.
It was interesting you mentioned Chavez, because you know, personally, I believe he's a better boxer than Danny Garcia. Not taking away from Danny Garcia, because I do think he is a very good boxer. I don't think he has a resume that you have, Keith. But he's also coming up, and you also point out something that your toolbox is what you mentioned earlier as well. We've seen different styles that you fight, going back, coming forward. Not so much the rope-a-dope, but, you know, letting a fighter wear out. And I know you're not thinking away your whole game plan, but no, I expect that you can come forward on Danny Garcia. Is there anything in his game that, you know, that you can point out, or that you would point out that you can take advantage of?
Well, you know, I think he's got an open defense. You know, I think his defense, you know, I expected Sean Porter to be easier to hit than he was during my fight, and that might just do with preparation of, you know, one, taking a loss as a champion and understanding that obviously he was a little too easy to hit, so he needs to move his head even more and keep his hands up even more, you know. And there were several times where I opened up the fight with my left hook. I was able to land it, but sure enough, I'd throw some more left hooks and his right hand would be right there blocking it. And his head movement, he was constantly moving it, putting it in my chest all night. And he was really fast. And even though I expected him to be like that, when I was really presented with it, he was even lower than I thought he would be, and that presented a small challenge. I don't think Danny's going to do such things, but, you know, if Danny tightens up his defense, then that's going to go a long way, man, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be easy to hit when you're fighting Keith Thurman. I mean, you know, I've shown it in the past, and I have no problem showing it again. You know, I tell people a lot of times when it comes to these 12-round fights, the difference between the 12-round fights and the fights that don't go 12 rounds is not that I'm not doing my job, but they're doing their job well as well. You know, they're protecting themselves. Because, you know, damage is dealt when it's landed, not when it's not landing. So I expect Danny's guard to be open, man. I expect him to be there to trade hooks, similar to how I was able to finish off Diego Chavez with the wide right hand. You know, Danny likes to throw his big hooks, his big right hooks, his big left hooks. I think there's going to be plenty of moments for us to trade. I don't think he's been in the ring with somebody who's actually willing to trade with him. I might not be there trading at all times in the fight. I'm going to pick my moments. But whenever I feel comfortable, and if I do feel comfortable enough to be in the pocket just trading with him, then that's what we're going to do. I do see myself as the bigger man. Guerrero was able to walk him down, stalk him, and never get knocked down. Herrera was never knocked down by Garcia, and Lamont Peterson was never knocked down by Garcia. So I think, you know, the main thing about facing Garcia is just be aware and be on your guard, you know, and you can weather the storm, and then it's about outperforming them at the same time.
Keith, you had mentioned... Go ahead, Brady.
Sorry. Do you expect to knock him down, or do you think you're gonna?
I expected to knock Sean down, and I caught him with some things, and he didn't go down. So I expect to knock a lot of people down, and the reason being is because I believe out of 27 fights, only two opponents of mine never went down. So I tell people all the time that I do hold a high KO ratio. But outside of my KO ratio, my knockdown ratio is even higher. So, you know, I do believe that, you know, if the fight is ending up going my way at any time of the fight, then knockdowns should end up being produced, if not knockouts. So,
you know, I was going to raise that question.
Earlier when we were talking to Porter about the having come back from rehab. And I don't know if our listeners knew that you had had an accident back around, it was February last year? Or was it
yes. February? Yeah, it was February, early February.
And Keith had a serious automobile accident and had to take some time off and rehab. How's your shoulders now?
Well, it was my neck. It had nothing to do with my shoulders. It was spinal, you know. Car accidents give you whiplash and things of that nature. So, and, you know, we recovered. We weren't able to, you know, if we didn't recover from it, we wouldn't have been able to do the Sean Porter fight. You know, I did extensive therapy, worked with chiropractors. I still work with my chiropractor once a week just to stay on point. And, it just is what it is. It's not a dilemma, right? You know, that was one grueling 12-round fight. If I had like one tenth of the issue that I actually went through, I wouldn't have been able to withstand the 12 rounds with Sean.
Wow, Frank, you had a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up the knockdowns. You know, Danny Garcia is not known as, you know, slightly over 50% of his fights have been knockouts, where almost 80% of your fights have been, you know, KOs and a lot of knockdowns. How do you prepare for a guy that you know wants to take you deep into the rounds as opposed to somebody who's going to come at you and try and be a pure puncher and just, you know, take you off your game and knock you down or out?
Well, I think he would love to be the first person to stop me, you know. I mean, he's still got over a 50% KO ratio. You know, that's, you know, if you were over 50, you know, there's no house in the casino. There's no game you can play in the casino where the player has over 50% winning possibilities. You know what I'm saying? So he's got to feel pretty confident about himself and the fact that they should be able to do damage if they land the right punch, you know? And I say you always need to respect people who have a 50% KO ratio because, I mean, it's 50%. It's really, you know, it's right there on the borderline of if they can or if they cannot. You know what I mean? So that does make him a dangerous fighter. It does make him a dangerous puncher. But I am more dangerous, as the numbers show, and I'm the bigger fighter. You know, I've been all my knockouts are in the welterweight division, where the majority of his stoppages were at 140.
Right. Now do you prepare differently for a fighter that you know is going to, you know, try and make it a fight of attrition rather than somebody who's
I don't see Danny Garcia as that kind of guy. I just see him as a fighter. If it goes 12 rounds, it goes 12 rounds. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I've seen Danny fade in the later rounds, where it seems like he's not that much of a 12-round fighter. So, you know, Danny, I don't see him as a fighter who has the strategy of, we want to take this guy in deep waters, then we want to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. You know,
right.
I see him a little bit more as a guy who likes to win the rounds early, but, you know, if he has to make an – if he seems very poised, too. When he was fighting Guerrero, Guerrero had momentum on him for about the first five rounds. The momentum was in Guerrero's favor. But Garcia is just kind of slow and steady. So he is a 12-round fighter, but it seems like, you know, he'll just take what he gets. You know, the last fight he had, even though he created that knockdown, he didn't rush to create the knockout, you know. He got it later on, and he got it by just boxing the way he normally boxes. To me, he's very one-dimensional, and if anything, almost like a monotone. Everything happens at the same pace. So we'll see, man. I got a lot of opinions about him, but I try not to uphold all the opinions, because I say what matters is who shows up that night and how he chooses to perform the night that we fight.
Okay.
Tell our listeners how you prepare for a fight like this. I know you do a lot of sparring, and Jan was telling me you're bringing somebody else in. Is it this week or next week? Can you
next
just
week.
Give us a of what you do?
My sparring partner will come in next week.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And how, other than that, how do you prepare for a fight like this? I mean, I know
visualization, man. I think about the fight every day of the week, you know. I mean, more and more I've learned how to box, you know, and I have a certain boxing style, but I'm a puncher too, you know. So it's really, I'm at the level to where really I just want to fight the way that I feel like the fight needs to be fought. I felt like I should let Sean throw punches, you know. There's my goal against Sean Porter is I was going to win the first round, and I told myself to lose the second round. I wasn't even going to try to win the second round. But, of course, nobody knows that but me. Nobody knows that, you know. So when I'm on the ropes in the second round and he's throwing all these punches, I'm talking to him. I said, come on, come on. Let's go, come on. You know, I want him to throw more punches. And it has nothing to do with the second round. It has to do with the later rounds in the fight, you know. And by talking to him and making him throw more, he might be vulnerable. I might be able to slip in a little sneaky counter, and it'd be nice to, you know, walk away with a knockdown while, you know, you're kind of talking junk to an opponent. So, like, I was trying to play some head games with him. But I say, you know, midway into the round of every round, a fighter should know if he's winning or losing, and not only is he winning or losing, but does he have the ability to come back in that round? If you don't have the ability to come back in that round, then you should be weary of how you approach the second half of that round. There's no need to do something, you know, unless you're going to try to get the knockdown, unless you really are eager to, you know, finish him at any moment. You know, there's just different strategies, man. In the long haul, I'm just willing to fight whatever fight needs to be fought for victory. I've been in over 100 fights in the amateurs. I've had my fights as a professional. I've sparred on multiple of thousands of occasions in my boxing career now. I'm just fully ready for anything and everything, man. I put my heart and my soul in that ring every single time I step in there. And I enjoy it all at the same time. It's fun for me. I really do enjoy it.
Great. John?
Kid, you've been doing this since, I believe I read a while back, 7 years old you've been boxing. And I just got a text from one of the listeners, and they want you to tell the story. And how did you get your nickname One Time? How did that come about?
So I turned pro at the age of 19, and I started my professional career with 8 consecutive first-round knockouts. during that time, I didn't have a nickname, and I didn't want a nickname for the first year. I don't know why. I wasn't solid on anything, and I felt like, you know, when you have a nickname, you should stick to it, you know. So it happened with my career. So after 8 consecutive first-round knockouts, I decided, well, okay, you can call yourself whatever the heck you want. No one's going to say anything, Keith. Do it, you know, go ahead and give yourself a nickname, you know. And there's a story that I remember from my father back when he used to do some backyard brawling in Ohio. They used to take T-shirts and wrap it around their fists and do some backyard brawling, almost like the Kimbo Slice videos that made him popular.
Wow.
So he was known for hitting people to the body and getting them to quit just with that one shot. And he had a friend that called him one time. A lot of people don't know that I'm actually a junior. I hold my father's name. Keith Thurman is my father's name. So I figured, well, I already hold his name. I might as well steal the nickname, too, and I'm pretty sure I do it a little better, you know. And so, you know, Keith One Time Thurman was a combination of the 8 consecutive first-round knockouts with me, with the story of my father having this title, I guess, back in the day in Cleveland, Ohio. So it's just something that came about, and I liked it as well, man, Keith One Time Thurman. My own take on the nickname, though, is that obviously one time represents knockout power, but to me, one time represents the sport of boxing and what every boxing fan is really looking for. They're waiting for that one shot, like a home run from Babe Ruth, you know what I'm saying? They're just waiting for that one shot that changes the fight. It doesn't matter if it's the one shot that I'm landing or the one shot that's being landed on me. So one time is kind of like a double-edged sword. It's what can happen to anybody at any time in a professional fight.
Good stuff. That's great. That's great stuff there. And
yeah,
I know that
you get along so well. You're both from the Cleveland area. Okay. These guys.
Hey, Keith, one quick question. When do you move your camp to New York? And do you guys already have a gym set
up that
you're going to be training?
I don't. Okay. I don't move my camp to New York. There's no reason to move my camp to New York. New York's not like a superior high elevation or nothing spectacular like that. So there's no reason to move my camp to New York.
Okay.
Now we'll be there. We'll be in New York the week of the fight, like always.
After you dispense of Danny Garcia, do you have any idea of who you'd like to fight after that?
No. The only thing that's very interesting is, you know, I know that Amir Khan he's on the Danny Garcia's bandwagon. He wants Danny Garcia to win, and I believe he wants to rematch Danny Garcia. And the real story behind that is because Amir Khan currently still holds the number one mandatory position for the WBC world title. So I am aware of his position in the rankings of the WBC and how after facing Garcia, I'm going to be, you know, I'll be the holder of the WBC. So with the WBA, and Khan has always been a formidable opponent in the welterweight division, and I don't know how interested he is in the fight. He will be geared up to grab 2 world titles if he's up for it. But I know he's interested in the Danny fight. I don't know if he's interested in Keith Thurman. But, you know, there's a lot out there for the future. I don't know what would happen in the immediate future. But I think, I'm going to try to stay active this year. I'm definitely going to do a minimum of 2 fights this year. But I might do 3 to stay busy and to just, you know, give the fans what I was unable to give them last year. So what matters first is we got to get through March 4th.
That's right. Sorry.
Absolutely.
And it's a great fight to start off the year.
It's
Do you have any idea who's on the undercard with you?
I don't, and I never really concern myself with such things, man. You know, it's there's just already enough pressure on my shoulders to show up and do my job right, you know. So I just focus, put myself in the right state of mind, and train hard, and like my buddy says, just be Keith Thurman.
Great. Guys, do you have any more questions for Keith? Brady?
No. Actually, no.
I just want to say thank you very much. It's an honor. It's an honor to talk to a champ. We look forward to your fights. You're one of the ones that doesn't shy away from anybody. And you take on the next man, and we greatly appreciate it.
All good. Thank you for having me on your show today, guys. Y'all take care.
Keith, when Brady gets the day off next week, we're going to come up to the gym. I want to introduce him to you.
Okay, just talk to Dan. I'll be there.
Yes. All right, Keith, thanks very much. We appreciate all the time you give us. You're always an interesting interview, and you've always been very, very gracious enough to take our calls when we call, and we appreciate that. You are you're definitely somebody that will be a great face for the boxing to return to the greatness that it used to be.
That's the goal, my man. That's the goal.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate you guys' time as well.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate everything you do for us, and we'll be keeping a good eye on the fight, and certainly keep a good thought that night.
Thanks for being in my corner, guys. Till next time.
Take care.
All right. That was a great interview. Go ahead, Brady.
I think I have a question for everyone. I think everyone wants Canelo versus Triple G to happen, but does anyone think they'll do it? I hope they do.
Well, why don't we ask a guy who may have that answer, Mr. John? What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. The pressure is on. De La Hoya's pretty much promised that the fight would take place. Both of them got to get to their next opponents, which I don't think is going to be an issue. But I think the fight hype has been there for what they wanted the last 18 months, maybe 24, but pretty much the last 18 months. And that dollar amount is going to be there for the pay-per-view buys. So the hype is there. They're the two best in the sport. Or, you know, I value Canelo way more than Triple G, to be honest. But I think it's going to be a great fight. And I do think it's going to happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, it'll definitely happen in May, next May, unfortunately. But I'm hoping for this year. I'm praying to the boxing gods on a daily basis.
There you go. There you go. Frank,
man,
go ahead, Brady.
I really hope that's not on pay-per-view, though.
Oh, it's gonna be on pay-per-view, Brady. There's no doubt about it, unfortunately, and it's gonna cost you $89.95 if you want to see it in high def.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the Joseph Parker's team seems to be trying to get a fight with Deontay Wilder. That seems to me like something he really shouldn't do. I think he needs a little bit more finesse, a little bit more journeyman time. What do you think, Josh?
I'm sorry, but you were broken up on that last part.
I was saying team that Joseph Parker has put together, he wants to try and go against Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting in itself because I think Wilder, you know, I'm hoping for a Wilder and Anthony Joshua fight. If Parker goes on, I'm going to give the edge to Wilder. I think that him and Anthony Joshua are the two best out there. I'm interested. Obviously, you have Klitschko that's going to be there, but he's getting up in years. And if Tyson Fury comes back from his issues, Tyson Fury, he's an unorthodox boxer, but he put on one heck of a show against Klitschko, and he's still never lost. He still has the belt. So I'm going to go with Wilder as the number two, and I hope to see him and Joshua in the near future.
Yeah, I don't think Parker is ready for the likes of Deontay Wilder. The key guy in the whole thing, of course, is going to be Al Haymon because it's his fight.
And that's where we get back to things like what we were saying with Keith Thurman, with him getting the fights like Danny Garcia with Sean Porter. You know, it's Al Haymon and it's De La Hoya and it's the promoters, but they want their money. So they're going to go on and build these fights, three or four fights to get opponents. And I think that's the one thing that's hurt in boxing. And if you compare it to MMA, there's no tune-up fights with the MMA. I'm not a big MMA fan, but I do know when the number one and number two are going to face each other, it's pretty much right off the bat. They make the big fights next. You know, their careers are short-lived. Where boxing, you could get through, you could get through 5, 6 years, seven, 8, 9, 10 great paydays before you finally fight an opponent. And I think that's what's going to take place with Danny Garcia here. I know there's a few names out there like Lamont Peterson and, you know, things like that, but he's never faced anyone of Keith Thurman's caliber, nor with Keith Thurman's punching power. So if Keith Thurman does get the win, which I do believe he will, it's going to be interesting to see who Danny Garcia is going to have to tune up against before he has his next build-up, and it won't be Amir Khan if he loses.
Yeah, I was going to raise that too. You know, this is a fight where Danny Garcia, I believe, is outmatched, and you know he was what Keith said. I think was I'm not going to say he wasn't dancing around the question. You know, when I asked him about how he prepares for that fight. But I think this is a fight that I think Keith's going to walk away with this. I think he's overmatched. And I don't think Danny Garcia really is ready for this caliber of boxer. And, you know, I know he's got 58% knockouts, but it's not like he's, you know, these aren't first, second, third round knockouts, you know, whereas Keith Thurman will put you away in the early rounds if he gets the opportunity. And I think this – you know, his fight, I think, is going to go 5, maybe 6 rounds before Keith puts him away.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Frankie, because Keith has changed his style since he started. He used to go to the ring just to make sure that you were down. Now he'll sit back. He's a very astute fighter. He'll sit back, he'll read you, and then he'll find by the second round, he'll figure out what your weaknesses are, and he'll go after him. And you're right. It may take him 4 or 5 rounds, but he'll put you down.
Yeah. And, you know, and it goes to, again, what he said was we talk about power. And I was talking to, again, another boxing enthusiast, Cesar Lopez out of Miami, who has a wealth of knowledge and been to all the 80s fights. And we were talking last night on punching power and knockout. And I was going on and saying, hey, Lara's a good fight. He's got great power. And he comes back and saying, hey, listen, he's only got 14 knockouts. You know, that's half of his fight. Where Keith Thurman recognized the power of Danny Garcia having just above a 50% KO rate. So it's just interesting to see from a boxer's perspective on the power of the knockout compared to a fan's perspective. So it was great to hear that from Keith Thurman. He proved my point against Mr. Caesar. And I know he's listening, so I can go on and put that feather in my cap.
That's great. Well, guys, we're just about up on our time limit here. John, I really appreciate you coming in and help us out tonight. We always look forward to having you on. Anytime you have the time, please let us spend some time with you because we really enjoy it.
I'm through the holidays, you know, and you know more than anybody how it is with law enforcement. You never know when you get that call, but through New Year's Eve and all that good stuff. So I expect to be on a little more, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity tonight. And you guys are always awesome.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Frankie, I appreciate you taking your time. I know you're very busy on your schedule, and I wish you a lot of luck on the next 2 days. I know it's going to go well.
Thank you.
Brady, I appreciate you coming on. As always, my best partner in town. You certainly are filling in the shoes for your Uncle Bobby and you're a walking, talking almanac of sports, and I appreciate that very much.
Thanks.
Way to go, Brady.
Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
No, I just said way to go, Brady, that's all.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, give them a wink, a handshake, anything, nod your head, let them know that you know they're there. They are the good guys. They are the guys that are running in where everybody else is running out. We wish to, and the best thing you can ever say to a person in uniform, male or female, is be safe, my brother or my sister, because they certainly need your prayers and your thoughts at this time. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bacher, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Servant, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longo Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Police Department, Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Police Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Ashley Gidden, Eustis, Texas Patrol Officer David Hofer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Firefighter First Class Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Colaccio. We'll be adding the two officers from Orlando in our next broadcast. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night and God bless.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shenevoratfet, hakuigegen ma'ilma.
Dispatch to 1999, County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Hey, Bob, we miss you.
Good night, Frank. We love you.
Good night.